Hello, everyone. The shiur today is going to be on Likutei Sichos, Parsha Shmini, the second sicha in Likutei Sichos, Volume Yud Beis, Volume 12. So the sicha revolves around the first pasuk in this week's parsha. The first pasuk in this week's parsha, if you're looking on the resource in the resource sheet, which is somewhere on the Project Likutei Sichos website, you can find it somewhere next to this recording, probably. So the first pasuk is Vayhi Bayom Hashmini Kara Moshe La'arno Levana V'Lazikne Yisrael, which means that it was on the eighth day that Moshe summoned Aaron and his sons and all the elders of Klal Yisrael. So what is the eighth day? The eighth day since when? So Rashi immediately clarifies. If you look at the second text, Rashi immediately clarifies that Bayom Hashmini is La Miluim, the eighth day of what's called Miluim. There was, before the Mishkan was, when the Mishkan was originally erected and constructed by Moshe Rabbeinu, so there was a seven-day inauguration period. And during those 7 days, every single day, Moshe Rabbeinu, he would erect the Mishkan in the morning, and he would actually deconstruct it at night. And then the next morning again, put it up. And for 7 days, there was a special service that the Kohanim, the Torah tells us about it in Parshas Tetzaveh, and then once again in Parshas Tzav, there was a whole detailed service that the Kohanim had to do for 7 days. And this was their education. This was their inauguration into Kahuna. And then on the eighth day, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so again, the 7 days of Miluim, of inauguration, that began on the 23rd day of Adar. So you had 7 days of inauguration. The eighth day was the first day of Nisan, which was Rosh Chodesh. And that is the day, the eighth day, which the Pasuk is referring to. So Rashi continues and says, Shehukam HaMishkan Bo'i Bayoim, that is the day when the Mishkan was finally constructed, as in permanently. V'natal eser atareis hashnuyes b'seder olam. And that day, there were 10 special things about that. It was a very special day. 10 special things about that day. And these 10 things are mentioned in Seder Olam. It's a sefer which chronicles history. So just on a simple level, as we proceed through the parsha, we see there was indeed a very special day. As we see in this pasuk, Moshe summoned Aaron and all the Jewish people to come to the Oyel Moed, to the Mishkan, to the Tabernacle, and over there, Aaron did again a very special service, and that concluded with the Shekhinah coming down, the Divine Presence settling in the Mishkan. As the Pasuk says, that a fire came down from heaven, the fire signifying the Shekhinah, and came down and consumed the sacrifices that they brought on that day. So that was the day when the Shekhinah finally descended and entered the Mishkan, where it resided for the next many decades, many centuries, as long as the Mishkan was around. And you'll note that Rashi over here says that there were 10 special things about that day. Rashi, he points to Seder Olam, where as the source of those 10 special things, but in fact, these 10 special things are also enumerated in the Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos. And that's on text 4, page 2 of your resource sheet, where the Gemara says as follows. Vayhi b'chodesh arishin b'shana hashenes b'echad l'chodesh hukam ha-mishkan, was in the second, in the first month, which is Nisan, in the second year, that means the second year after the Jews left Mitzrayim, b'echad l'chodesh, on the first day of the month, hukam ha-mishkan, the Mishkan was finally constructed. That's a pasuk. Tana, we learned, oise yoim natal eser atares, that this day, there were 10 special things about this day. Rishon l'maaseh bereishis. Number one, it was a Sunday. And that's something very special. That's the day the world was created. Number two, Rishon l'nesiim. You know that there were, when the Mishkan was finally constructed permanently for the first 12 days of the month of Nisan, so each one of the Nesiim, each one of the leaders of the Shvatim, of the tribes, each one offered a special inaugural gift to the Mishkan. And that's why in the first 12 days of Nisan, we say every single day what's called the Nasi, to commemorate that. And the first Nasi, the Nasi of the Shevet of Yehuda, that was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that was something special about that day. Rishon LeKuhuna, it was the first day when Kuhuna went into effect. That's the day when Aaron and his children became actual kehanim. Rishon la'avoda is the first day when we had a full-fledged avoda. Rishon liridas ha'esh, the first time when a fire came down from heaven to consume the karbanos. Rishon lachilas kadashim, it is the first time when we had kehanim eating proper kachim, sacrificial, the holy meat of the sacrifices. Rishon lishkoin shechina, the first time the shechina descended over here in this world. Rishon levarachas Yisrael, it is the first time when we had birchas kohanim. Rishon leisar habamos, it is also the first time when it became prohibited to offer a sacrifice on any altar but in the Mishkan. I mean, that extended later into the Beis HaMikdash, because beforehand anyone was able to bring a sacrifice wherever they wanted to. So that was the first day when this prohibition went into effect. And lastly, Rishon lachadashim, because it's Nisan. Nisan is the first month, so this is the first of the months on the calendar. So we have 10 very special things about this day. And Tosfos on the Gemara over there, Masechet Shabbos, asks a very obvious question, that it seems that something very important was omitted from this list. And that is in text 5. Esar Atares Notaloisayim, that day took 10 distinctions. So Tosfos says, Hadolei Chashiv Rishon Lakamas HaMishkan. Why doesn't he mention the fact that this is the first time when the Mishkan was constructed? That seems to be the most notable and distinction that this day have when we talk about the first of Nisan on the second year after the Jewish people went out of Mitzrayim. What the first thing that comes to mind is that's the time when the Beis HaMikdash was finally built for good, and that's when everything began. So Tosfos is going to give two answers to this question. Number one, he says, Mishum Damiran Bemedrash, because the Medrash tells us, Shekol Zayin Yimei Hamiluim Hayomaisha Maimid HaMishkan Umefarke, that for the 7 days of inauguration, as we mentioned earlier, every single day Moshe constructed the Mishkan and he took it down. So if that's the case, the first of Nisan, in fact, isn't really the first time that the Mishkan was constructed. So we can't say that this is the special distinctiveness of this day, that the Mishkan was constructed. The Mishkan was already constructed a week beforehand. That's one answer that Tosfos gives. Inami, another answer Tosfos suggests is, Mishum da'alei da'kamas ha'mishkan koi. This whole Gemara is talking about the construction of the Mishkan. So da'achi ka'amar, this is what he's saying. Ois ha'yem shalakamas ha'mishkan, that day, whose primary feature is that the Mishkan was constructed on that day, Natal Eser Atares Acheres also had 10 other distinctions. But the reason why it's not counted is because that's so obvious. The whole reason why we're talking about that day is because it's a day when the Mishkan was finally constructed. So the Gemara is only saying, on that day, there was also 10 other distinctions, none of which, by the way, are to the level and importance of the fact that the Mishkan was constructed on that day. The Rebbe in the Sicha points out something interesting. We have here a question. Tosfos asks the question, why is it that the construction of the Mishkan isn't included in the list of the 10 distinctions of this day? And Tosfos gives two answers, and it's difficult to find two answers that are more different one from another. In fact, they're polar opposites. The first answer tells us that we don't count the construction of this Mishkan in this list because the construction of the Mishkan isn't significant enough to be counted. Why? Because the Mishkan was already constructed 7 days earlier. The second answer tells us that we don't count the construction of the Mishkan because it is more important than anything else that's on this list. We'd say it's tuffle to anything else that's on this list. So according to one answer, it's not counted because it's not so important at all. And according to the other answer, it's not counted because it is more important than anything else. It would be a disservice to actually include it on the list of these things which aren't as important as the construction of the Mishkan. How do we resolve this? In other words, how do you come up with two answers that are so opposite from each other? Is the Mishkan really that unimportant, or is it really very, very important on that day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So to answer this question, the Rebbe first asks another question, which is, We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to put up the Mishkan on the first day of Nisan. That's text 6. It's a pasuk in Pekudei where it says, "Bayim achodesh harishayin be'echad lachodesh, tokim es Mishkan oyel moed." Hashem instructs Moshe that on the first day of the first month, you shall then construct the Mishkan. Now, we don't find anywhere that Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to construct the Mishkan in the 7 days that preceded that. So why did Moshe construct the Mishkan then? From where did he receive the clearance, the authorization to construct the Mishkan before the time when Hashem explicitly told him when to construct it? Hashem told him, construct it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Ramban has this very question. The Ramban, one of the primary commentators on the Chumash, and that is text 7. The Ramban says, on the first day of the first month, Hashem tells Moshe to construct the Mishkan of the tabernacle. Our sages tell us that this is the 8th day of the inauguration process. And Tam HaKosuv, the meaning of this pasuk, when Hashem says to Moshe to construct the Mishkan on the first day of Nisan, Hashem was instructing on this day is the day when you should construct it permanently. You are never going to take it down again. Even though Taked late and later and later times when the Jewish people traveled through the Midbar was taken down, put back up, but that was by the Levim. That wasn't by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hashem was telling Moshe on the first day of Nisan, that's when you're putting it up for good. From your part, as far as you're concerned, you're putting it up for good. If you skip a line, the Ramban says, "V'lehutzrach litzaveis ata alakam shiva seyam harishenim." Hashem didn't have to instruct Moshe Rabbeinu about the first 7 days. Ki amar le mitchila, because earlier on, Hashem had already told Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'hakim Moisa samishkan ki mishpotei asher har esa bahar," that you should put up the Mishkan according to what I showed you on the mountain, how to put up the Mishkan. Since now Hashem tells Moshe that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's when you put up the Mishkan permanently, so he knew that in the 7 days of inauguration, he knew that he would have to put it up and then take it down every single day. To put it in different words, what the Ramban is saying is, Moshe had an instruction already when Hashem told him to put up the Mishkan originally, he had an instruction to put up the Mishkan as soon as possible. But then Hashem comes and tells him, I want you to put up the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, 1 second, how do you reconcile these two directives that he received from Hashem? So, the way that Moshe reconciled it is he said, okay, Hashem means that on the first day of Nisan, that's when I'm supposed to put it up permanently. But before then, I am to put it up, but not in a permanent way, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu took it down and put it up every single day. That's how the Ramban understands why Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan 7 days beforehand, even though that Hashem commanded him to put it up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Although this is what the Ramban says, the Rebbe says that the very simple reading of the Pasuk, the very simple reading of the Torah, leads us to a different response altogether. And apparently that's the way Rashi understood it, because if Rashi doesn't comment, then Rashi is relying on us to look at the Chumash in a very literal way and to understand it in a very simple manner. Hashem told Moshe, yes, he told him on the mountain, he says, put up the Mishkan. Later, Hashem comes and tells him, he says, put up the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So 2 + 2 = 4, Moshe Rabbeinu immediately figured out that when Hashem told me beforehand to put up the Mishkan, he didn't mean to put it up immediately, he meant to put it up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So why Taka then? Why did Moshe put up the Mishkan 7 days beforehand if Hashem didn't instruct him to do so? The answer to that also is obvious. And that's because Hashem instructed Moshe that the Kohanim had to be inaugurated for 7 days. In order for them to be inaugurated properly, you need to have the Mishkan over there, because part of the inauguration was Karbanos and eating the Karbanos. And in fact, the Pasuk says that the Karbanos had to be eaten in the courtyard of the Mishkan. So the construction of the Mishkan during the 7 days beforehand, it wasn't because the Mishkan had to be constructed. It was a byproduct of the inauguration process. Because Hashem commanded Moshe regarding the inauguration process, Moshe understood in order for the inauguration process to be complete, he has to put up the Mishkan. So that those are the two ways of resolving the question of why Moshe put up the Mishkan 7 days before Hashem commanded him to. According to the Ramban, Hashem did command him to do so. Hashem commanded him to do so on the mountain. The only thing was that command was only to build a Mishkan, but that it shouldn't be a permanent one. And the second command, to build a permanent Mishkan, that took effect on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And according to Rashi, he put it up 7 days earlier, even though he wasn't commanded to do so at all, simply because he was commanded to do the 7 day miluim for the Kohanim, the 7 day inauguration process, and therefore, of necessity, was to construct a Mishkan during that time. So the Rebbe suggests that the two answers of Tosfos, which we had earlier, which as you'll recall, the very opposite one from another, they stem from the two different these two different understandings of why Moshe put up the Mishkan for the 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. According to the Ramban, Hashem had commanded Moshe Rabbeinu already to construct the Mishkan 7 days beforehand. Yeah, not permanently, but the construction of the Mishkan on Chav Gimel Adar, the construction of the Mishkan 7 days before, 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was already by Hashem's command. Therefore, if you're following that logic, you can't say that one of the distinctivenesses of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is that that's the first day the Mishkan was put up. You can't say that. The Mishkan was put up 7 days earlier. If, however, we're going to say, according to the other understanding that we have as to why Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan 7 days earlier, which is that really there wasn't a necessity for the Mishkan per se. It was a byproduct of the other obligations to make the Miluim. Then we can understand, was the Mishkan really put up 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? No. In other words, it wasn't a Mishkan that was put up by Hashem's command. They were fulfilling another command, and by the way, they needed to put up a Mishkan. If so, when was the Mishkan really put up the first time by Hashem's command? That was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If that's the case, that's very significant. That's very important. So important, in fact, that it doesn't even belong on the list together with the other 10, because that is the most important feature of that day. And we say, along with that, there came another 10 other distinctive features of that day. So the Rebbe takes this Tosfos and the two answers, and the Rebbe gives you the inner logic and what's going on behind the Tosfos. You know, when we look in, a lot of times we'll learn a Gemara, a Rashi, or a Tosfos, or any time you learn any Mefarish, even if you're learning a Mefarish on the Chumash, and two answers are given. So we always have to understand, it's not just that it happens to be there are two answers, but each answer actually stems from a completely different philosophy or outlook, as we have over here. They seem to be two answers of Tosfos, but one is based on one way of understanding the function of the Mishkan during the 7 days of the inauguration, and the other answer is based on a totally different understanding of the function of the Mishkan during inauguration. According to the first one, it was by Hashem's command that the Mishkan was created, and therefore that's obviously very significant. And according to the second answer, it was not by Hashem's command, but rather it was something which Moshe did on his own in order to complete the inauguration. This idea, the Rebbe extends further, but in order to extend it further, we're gonna have to move away a little from this idea and talk about something else. And that is that this week's parsha again begins with the words Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, it was on the eighth day. And the eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There's something else special about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that is that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or on the Shabbos beforehand, we read something called Parshas HaChodesh. We know that beginning with, around the beginning of Adar, a little beforehand, there are four special Parshas that we read. There's Parshas Shkalim, and there's Parshas Zohar, Parshas Para, and then the fourth one is Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is read on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, unless Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on Shabbos, in which case we read it on that Shabbos. What's the connection between Parshas HaChodesh and Rosh Chodesh Nisan? The connection is that Parshas HaChodesh is HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. It begins with Hashem's command to Moshe Rabbeinu to consecrate Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Parshas HaChodesh actually shares a relationship together with Parshas Shmini, because Parshas HaChodesh is about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Parshas Shmini begins talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and on the year when this sicha was released, Parsha Shmini actually was Parsha Zachedesh, and that happens very often. The Parsha Shmini is on Parsha Zachedesh, so there's obviously a strong connection between the two. Now, the Shabbos beforehand, we read Parsha's Para. Parsha's Para talks about all about the Para Duma, which talks about the purification of Klal Yisrael. And if you look at text, 3, there's Yerushalmi and Masechtas Megillah. Rabbi Shalmi says as follows. Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Rabbi Levi said in the name of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, "Bedin hu shetaktim hachodesh lapara." In truth, technically speaking, we should read Parshas Hachodesh before Parshas Para. Not the way we do it right now. Right now, the way we do it is Parshas Para is always the week before Parshas Hachodesh. Why? Shebe'echad b'nisan hukam hamishkan. Because chronologically speaking, the Mishkan was constructed on the first day of Nisan. Ubasheni nisrefa ha'para. The first para aduma wasn't burnt, wasn't processed until the next day, Monday, the second day. So we see over here that first comes Parshas Achodesh, Echad ben Nisan, the idea of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the next day we have the para. So v'lama para kidemes, why is Parshas para beforehand? Shehi taharasan shall call Yisrael, because that is the purity of Klal Yisrael. We need to have the purity of Klal Yisrael before we read Parshas Achodesh, where it talks about the Karban Pesach. So the Rebbe asks a question. One second. Which one comes first? Does Parah come before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Parah come before HaChodesh or the other way around? If you need to have Parah before HaChodesh because it's Taharasan Shal Kol Yisrael, because the purity needs to, of the Parah Duma needs to come before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so why is it that chronologically you had first Rosh Chodesh Nisan and then the next day only was Parshas Parah? Why are we not consistent over here? So the Rebbe explains that we have to look a little at the symbolism. What is behind HaChodesh and what is behind Parah Aduma? HaChodesh is all about the Korban Pesach. What is the difference between Korban Pesach and the Parah Aduma? In fact, the Rebbe points to a medrash that there is a similarity between the Parah Aduma and the Korban Pesach. If you look at text 12, so it says, Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha, David HaMelech says, in Kapitel Kuf Yutes, the Rebbe's Kapitel for right now, where David says, my heart should be complete in your chukim, chukim in plural, zeh chukas ha-pesach v'chukas parah aduma. This is a reference to the chukah of Karban Pesach and the chukah of parah aduma. Lama, why? Shashneyem doim in zeh lazeh. They are both similar one to another. Bazeh nemar zeh chukas ha-pesach, u'bazeh nemar Zeis Chukas HaTorah. Regarding the Karban Pesach, it says Zeis Chukas HaPesach. And regarding Karban Pesach, it says Zeis Chukas HaTorah. So we see a similar wording over here. V'i'ata yedeya eizach chuka gedeila mizu. We don't even know which one is the greater one. Is the Parah Aduma the greater one? Or is the Karban Pesach the greater one? What does this medrash mean? So the Rebbe explains. The Karban Pesach represents the avodah of a tzaddik, the avodah of tzaddikim. Why is that? Because a tzaddik is a person who is perfect, a person who has never messed up. And the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, that was when they were born as a nation. Or you might want to say that's when they converted to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism. And the halacha is that Gershon is Geyer Kekatan Shenoyla Dami, that when someone converts to Judaism, they're like a newborn baby, newborn child, which is why also Pesach is connected to the idea of birth and youth. And Yecheskel compares the whole process of carbon, of Pesach to birth. We were newly born then, and just like a newborn is perfect and has never messed up and has never sinned, so therefore the carbon Pesach represents the carbon of a tzaddik. The Parah Aduma, on the other hand, represents the person who came in contact with impurity. And that's why that person needs to be purified. Spiritually, this is someone who has sinned and therefore came in contact with impurity. And therefore, the Parah Aduma is also known as a chatas, as a sin offering. It has the ability to purify even the worst of impurities. So the Parah Aduma represents the Baal Tshuva.
Aha, so now we understand the Medrash, where it says, you have two things. There are two chukim. There is the choik of the tzaddik, which is the Karban Pesach. There is the choik of the Baal Tshuva, which is the Parah Aduma. And in fact, the Medrash says, and I don't know which one's greater than which, because, as we know, both the tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva are very great. Who is greater? Which one is the greater one? It's subject to debate. So with that, once we understand that HaChodesh represents the tzaddik, Parshas HaChodesh, which talks about the Parah Aduma, represents the tzaddik, and Parshas Parah, which talks about the Parah Aduma, talks about the Baal Tshuva, now we can begin to make sense of this Yerushalmi before, which we just mentioned beforehand. Now, in terms of the Baal Tshuva versus the tzaddik, each one of them has an advantage. The idea of the tzaddik is that the tzaddik draws down an incredible light from above through the Torah, the mitzvahs, the avodah of the tzaddik. And the perfect avodah of the tzaddik draws down an incredible light. But the Baal Tshuva has an advantage in terms of, if we know that our job here in this world is to bring the light bitachtoinam, down here into the lowest realm. So who is the one who brings the light lower, so to say? That would be the Baal Tshuva. Because the Baal Tshuva occupies a much lower rung because of where the Baal Tshuva has been and what the Baal Tshuva has done. The Baal Tshuva occupies a lower level of tachtoinim than does the tzaddik, and therefore the Baal Tshuva brings the light to a much lower place, which is a much greater accomplishment in that way. Now we can understand why it is that when the Mishkan was built, so first we have the first day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was when the Shekhinah came down over here into this world, and it was followed the next day by the Parah Aduma. In other words, the first day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which symbolizes the idea of the tzaddik. That's why we have Parshas HaChodesh and the Karban Pesach, which is about a tzaddik, and that's the day when the Shekhinah came down, because that's what the tzaddik accomplishes. And only on the next day do we have the Avodah of the Baal Tshuva. The tzaddik always comes before the Baal Tshuva. Why is that? Well, first of all, chronologically, we are all born perfect, and then we mess up. So the tzaddik, the state of being a tzaddik always comes before the state of being a Baal Tshuva. And that's also a very important idea to understand, is that in the concept of tshuva, tshuva means we're returning to who we really are. Who we really are at our essence is we are tzaddikim. That is our original state. That is the truest state of a Jewish person, is the state of a tzaddik. Va'amech kulam tzaddikim. We are all tzaddikim. However, sometimes we do silly things, we do averus, we go off, and then we do tshuva. But with this understanding, we realize that the Baal Tshuva always comes after the tzaddik. So therefore, on the first day, we had the coming down of the Shekhinah, which symbolizes the avodah of the tzaddik. And the second day of Nisan, we had the Parah Aduma, which symbolizes the avodah of the Baal Tshuva. There's another point over here, which is our ability to bring the Shekhinah all the way down to the lowest levels, the avodah of Baal Tshuva. The avodah of the Baal Tshuva represents our own work, our hard work, after we've messed up. Our ability to do so comes because of the original revelation of the tzaddik. Because we started off as a tzaddik, that's why we have the ability afterwards to do tshuva. And on a deeper level, that's the way the world was constructed. Before every single descent, which the purpose of every single descent that's ever been has been that we should do tshuva for it, there was first a tremendous gilu, a tremendous revelation. So, for example, the world was created, and we know when the world was created, the Iker Shechina betachtoinim haisa. The Shechina was here. Then we did an avera, chet etzadas, we messed up, we chased the Shechina away, and then we get to do tshuva for it. Fast forward a few centuries, 2,400 years, and we have Matan Torah, the most incredible revelation, followed by us messing up with the Chet HaEgel. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that first there has to be this example of this tremendous revelation, and then even after we mess up, we have what to aspire back to, we have what to return to. And once again, like I said, because we start off as pure and holy, and our neshama starts off as pure and holy, that is what gives us the ability afterwards through our work to be able to work back to that state and perhaps even higher. But if you don't have the tzaddik first, if you don't have the revelation first, you can't have the Baal Tshuva. which again goes to a very deep understanding of the idea of tshuva. Most people think tshuva means that I have to change ways. I'm a bad person and I have to become now a good person, which by the way is very difficult and might even be impossible if you're really a bad person. But if you understand, no, I was a tzaddik originally, and that is the essentially who I am, and I'm returning there, then you have the ability to do so. So therefore, the Yerushalmi is telling us that the truth is, let's look back at the Yerushalmi, Bedin hu shetaktim hachoydash lepara, that really, technically, hachoydash, which represents the tzaddik, should come before Parshas Para, which represents the Baal Tshuva, because, as we said, on the first day of Nisan we had the tzaddik, and the second day we had the Baal Tshuva. So why is it different? Why is it different? So the Rebbe explains that yes, you always need to have the revelation first, and that's why first you needed to have the revelation which came on the first day of Nisan in order to be able to afterwards to fix up and to become a Baal Tshuva on the second day. But now here we are, a few thousand years later, and the question is, which parsha should we read first, the Baal Tshuva or the Tzaddik? We will read first the Baal Tshuva, because the Baal Tshuva ultimately is the higher level, and I need to have a Tzaddik beforehand. Yeah, that was already accomplished 3,000 years ago, when Hashem descended in the Mishkan. In other words, the very first time when there was the revelation of Hashem, you needed to have first that, and then the avodah of the Baal Tshuva. But here we are, many years later, we already have that original revelation, and therefore we can move to Baal Tshuva status beforehand, and we can have para before HaChodesh. And now we go back to what we spoke about in the beginning of the Sicha. So remember, let's forget about the Ramban for the moment. The simple understanding of what happened in the 7 days of the inauguration versus the 8th day when the Shekhinah came down. So for 7 days, Moshe put up the Mishkan and took it down, put it up and took it down. A lot of his own work. And yet, none of that is of any real significance, because ultimately, the Shekhinah came down to this world only on the 8th day. And therefore, everything that happened beforehand didn't count for anything. And this is where we see the parallel to the Parshas Para, Parshas HaChodesh, is that if Para represents our work, which is the work of Tshuva, and HaChodesh represents the work of the Tzaddik, which is the revelation from above. So here we see this concept of when is our work of Tshuva, of value? Only when it follows the revelation. And therefore, the 7 days of Miluim, which was Moshe's work, because it didn't follow the revelation, it didn't amount for anything. And that is the bottom line point of the Sicha, which is that yes, we have a lot of work to do, a lot of tshuva to do. In fact, it's brought down in different places in Chassidus that the whole reason why we were put into this world was to do tshuva. After all, if we wanted to only be a tzaddik, we could have stayed up in heaven and been tzaddikim. The whole point was to come down to this world and to have to return, to enter a lowly state and have to then return to our true estate. And this follows the what you call a nesinas koyach, the empowerment that we have from the revelation of above, which we already have it in place, and now we're ready to just do the tshuva that we have to do, return to our source, return to who we are, return to that revelation, and obviously when we do that, Mashiach will come, take efumiyad mamash.